Give me just a second. I think we could probably have invitation right now and be okay. And I don't want to share a lot because it's not my story to tell, but I don't know if you realize sometimes when someone's up there singing a special or talking to a group of ladies, or you just see someone on the street, you don't know what struggles they may be going through at that time in their life. I appreciate so much that song, Clear. It goes right along. And I don't know if any of you know, or I'm sure most of you know, some of you may not know, her dad is in the hospital right now on a ventilator. And to take that song and apply it to our hearts is just a special treasure. And we've been praying for your family. Okay, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Thank you for that. I appreciate it very much. Last night, Miss Angie got up, and she apologized for being long ahead of time because her heart was full, and I'm like, oh, dear, I'm going to apologize for being short. My heart is very full, and I'm excited about what the Lord has for me to share for you, but it may get done very quickly. But last night, her lesson just kind of fell right into place. I'm not going to review your whole lesson, but it just kind of fell into place and leads up to what's going on here. She gave the background of the verse, Joshua 24:15. That's the whole theme song, or the theme verse, for this conference. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And since she gave the background, see this section right here? That cut out a whole paragraph. That makes it even shorter. So we can skip that and fast forward. But just to kind of build a little bit on there, in Joshua 24:15, first of all, let's get started with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much that we can come together and receive encouragement from your word. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that we have to still meet, to still fellowship. Lord, we think about those folks across the world that are persecuted, and sometimes we get in our own comfort spots, and Lord, don't think there are Christians just like you and me, just like us, that are suffering. And Lord, they have to go into hiding to meet. They have to go into hiding to read the Word of God. Lord, we thank you that we can come together and fellowship and gain encouragement from your Word. Lord, I ask that you be with me as I speak. Lord, just please settle and help us all to have receptive hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so she gave the background last night. Joshua had come to the end of his life. He's sitting before the people, and if it seem evil to you, I'm going to go ahead and turn there so that I don't mess it up. In verse 15, he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord." And I know I messed that up. I was quoting, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I'm not going to review her whole lesson, but it's so important. Last night, she was talking about we need to bear the image of Christ. One of the ways that we can serve the Lord is to show his image to others. We need to look in the mirror of God's word daily to examine ourselves. And when we look into that mirror, we're looking for issues that need to be fixed. You don't wake up in the morning, go straight to the mirror and say, I'm good, and walk out and go along. There are things that need to be fixed before you can go out and face the day. When we look into God's word, there are things in our life that need to be fixed. And the Bible is the final authority for right and wrong. Social acceptability should not be our standards. The Bible should be our standards. Another side point, your image, if we're bearing the image of Christ, image, period, reflects our diet. If you think about that for a minute, I was kind of running through things with my husband last night, and I said, what do you think about this statement? Image reflects your diet. He laughed. And I said, why are you laughing? He said, think about what you're saying. Some of you may have heard me tell this story before. We were in a meeting in Georgia. And our family traveled all over for years and years. We were in a meeting in Georgia. And this lady came up to me before the service. And she told me, I put a chocolate pie in the freezer for your family. Then she said, I was supposed to bring it for the big lunch meal this afternoon, but I forgot. So I stuck it in the freezer so you could have it anyway because you look like a woman that likes a good chocolate pie. And so when I said, your image reflects your diet, I'm like, oh. So we laughed. I don't think in all of our years of traveling I ever had someone come up to me and say, you look like a woman that likes carrot sticks. Didn't happen. Anyway, we're working on that one. Anyway, our image reflects our diet. You know, not only does it reflect our diet on our physical appearance, what we take in, but it also, our image, when we're bearing the image of Christ to the world, we reflect the diet of our spiritual intake as well. The Lord cares about our physical appearance. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that we are the temple of God. The temple in the Old Testament was beautiful. And when they had gold engravings, rich tapestries, it was beautiful. And then when Solomon rebuilt the temple, it was magnificent. There was nothing like it in the whole world. People came from afar just to see Solomon's temple. It was beautiful. But you know what? God wants his temple to be beautiful and well taken care of, but the purpose of his temple was not just to be a beautiful sight. What was most important was what was taking place on the inside of the temple. And what was that? Sacrifice and worship. You know, our physical appearance is important. God cares. God cares that we do things first class for his honor and glory. But what's most important is what's taking place on the inside, sacrifice and worship. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If we're going to serve the Lord with all of our hearts, we need to be willing to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's our reasonable service. Sometimes our service to the Lord will involve sacrifice. Are we willing to make that sacrifice? So let's think about the phrase, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This phrase was taken from Joshua 15, as we know. Think of how popular this phrase is in Christian merchandising. I mean, we have it on our walls. We have it on plaques. I got the, in that bag, is that a dish towel? Yes. Okay, it's beautiful. I love it. And I'm thinking, where am I going to hang this on the wall? I'm like, I think it's a dish towel. But it is so cute. I love that. So we have these, I mean, it's in weddings, songs, devotionals. We hear the phrase, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's an easy phrase to hang on the wall. It's an easy phrase to say. But what does it really mean to us? Does anyone in here have a hard time making decisions? Yeah, I do. I'm a very indecisive person. My poor eye doctor, you know, you get in there and you look through the little thing. Okay, this one or this one? I'm like, that one. Okay, this one or this one? I'm like, can we go back to the other one? I don't know. He's a very patient man. My husband is a very patient man. Where do you want to go eat? I don't care. Well, you got to tell me something. Okay, we're going to have Wendy's. No, I don't want to always. He's a very patient person. But there are choices we make every single day in our lives. What do we wear? What are we going to have for supper? How are we going to handle this situation? Where are we going to go to church? Are we going to sit home or are we going to watch it on live stream today? Do we want to go into that store? There are decisions we make every day of our life. Have you ever made a decision and said firmly, I'm going to do this? Well, then that happens. And suddenly everything becomes a mixture of this and that. And then another gets thrown on top of the pile. In the ever-changing world that we live in, we need to decide more than ever, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We don't need to let this, that, and another change our resolve. But we can only find our strength in the Lord, and we can't accomplish that on our own. The first part of Psalm 28:7 tells us, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. You know, as I was studying for this, are one of these waters? I see that. Thanks. I'm glad I didn't have to make a decision. Sorry. So as I was studying, the Lord brought to mind Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of the great prophets in the Bible. He was known as the weeping prophet. And he was sent on a specific mission to tell the children of Israel some very hard things. They broke his heart. Because of what he was preaching to the people, the king had him thrown into the prison. Well, he wanted him put in the court of the prison and given a piece of bread. There was a famine coming in the land, but he wanted Jeremiah to be given a piece of bread in the court of the prison. Some evil men just had it out for Jeremiah. They came to the king. They had him put in a dungeon. And the Bible says there was a mire. There was no water. It was a mire. He was actually sunk in the mire in a dungeon just for proclaiming the word of God. So by the time we come to Lamentations, all of this has taken place. And then Jeremiah is reflecting in Lamentations about experiences that he went through that Israel has gone to. And in Lamentations 3, it says in verse 2, he hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into the light. You know, sometimes God allows circumstances to come into our lives that we have no control over. We have no choice but to go down that dark path that is set before us. And verse 3, he says, surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. Sometimes we go through this circumstance, we think everyone's against us. We think, is God against us? Why is he doing this to me? Then down in verse 7, he says, he hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He maketh my chain heavy. Have you ever felt trapped in your situation? Just trapped in life. Have you ever felt claustrophobic, like you can't breathe because of what's going on in your life? Masks. I feel trapped in a mask. Quarantine. How many of in this room have been quarantined at some point in the past year or two? You know, you feel trapped. 2020 has been kind of a trapped kind of year. Down in verse 8, it says, "Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer." Sometimes we feel that no one can hear us. Do you ever feel like you're praying and you're saying, "God's not even hearing me. Why is this going on?" Job felt that way. In Job 23:8-10, after he had gone through all of his trials, he says, "Behold, I go forward, and he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." But you know, Job, it says in the Bible, he kept his integrity. "But he knoweth the way that I take." Even though I can't see him, he knows the way that I take. Sometimes we feel no one's listening to us. In verse 12 of Lamentations 3, it says, "He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for his arrow." Have you ever had a feeling of dread, like impending doom? Someone's targeting you specifically for persecution. You just know you're about to be hit with something. I don't know about you, but sometimes the way things are in the world today, you think, okay, if I go into the grocery store and touch that cart, am I going to be struck with COVID? If I talk to this person, do they have COVID? Do they not? I'm really not making light of it. I mean, the sickness is real, and we need to be cautious. We need to take precautions. We need to wash our hands. If you're out in public, sanitize. Don't touch your face. Don't breathe on people. But we have been conditioned into a state of fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, sometimes he even goes down further in verse 14. He says, "I was a derision to all my people." Derision is mockery, ridicule. They ridiculed him. Sometimes we feel the world and even our own brothers and sisters in Christ are ridiculing what we do, our stand for Christ. And then verse 17, "And thou hast removed my soul far from peace." In the midst of our trials, it's hard to have peace. Jeremiah's painting a pretty bleak picture here. But then he gets to verse 21. And I'm going to get back in my place here. In verse 3:21, chapter 3, verse 21, it takes a different turn. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." In verse 22 through 25, he says, "It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." As we're presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, we can only do this by the mercies of God. And it's because of his mercies that we are not consumed. "Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." Even in the circumstances where things seem out of our control, there are choices to be made in our response to them. And we should start by remembering that God is a merciful God and that he loves us without fail. He renews his mercies every morning and he's faithful. And we should make the definite choice, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No matter what's going on around us, we will serve the Lord. Miss Robin had asked for me to share a little bit about our testimony. You know, in 1995, my husband and I and our three children at the time started traveling in evangelism. At first, we traveled just on some weekends and during the summers. A little less than 4 years and two more kids later, in May of 1999, we made the decision to start traveling full time. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We made that decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord full time, on the road, in a van, with 5 kids, ages 1 to 7 and a half, pulling a cargo trailer. We will serve the Lord. Life is good. We are excited. 1 month later, on June the 18th of 1999, because of some decisions that we made, you know, we talked about those decisions we make every day. Because of decisions that we made and our method of changing a flat tire, that same van that was being used in our service to the Lord fell on my husband's head. We were serving the Lord. We had just surrendered full time. I drove him to our local hospital there in Heber Springs. They evaluated him and sent him to a bigger hospital by way of a helicopter, which that was kind of cool. Not at the time, but he talks about it now. Anyway, the next day he had brain surgery. A couple of days after that, he had a surgery to repair his cheekbone and put some things in place to keep his eye where it should be. And the combination of the surgeries left him with 19 screws and 2 or 3 plates in his head. After the initial surgery, the doctor came out into the waiting room to let me know they were able to stop the bleeding. But because of where the injury was located, it would probably result in some behavioral and personality changes. At the time, we were crushed. Why, Lord? We had just surrendered full time. We had determined, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then a van falls on his head. During the time spent in the hospital, I would sit beside him and read out loud from the book of Psalms. We were reading in Psalm 118 and came to verse 17, and it said, "I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." We did not know why the Lord had allowed this to happen. We had just committed our lives to serve him full time. At the time, we didn't know what the long-term effects would be. But God gave us verses to claim during that time, and he in his mercy allowed complete healing with only occasional headaches. But compared to what it could have been, God was merciful to us. My husband claims that all 19 of those screws are still tight. I've told him we might need to get that checked. But he claims they're all still tight. I keep reminding him, and I've reminded him on several occasions over the past 22 years since that has happened, that doctor promised behavioral changes. I've not seen any. None. Not one. But the Lord is good. He's gracious. He's merciful. You know, when you're going through something like that, when you see the Lord's mercy, when you see his mighty hand of healing, you go through trials and struggles, and the outcome is kind of like you wanted it to turn out to be. It's easy to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is good. Whatever problems we may face, he'll take care of it." And he will. But let's shift gears just a little bit. What if God doesn't bring healing or deliverance? What if he doesn't? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were facing a fiery trial in their life. They were 3 Hebrew children, and if you think on their lives, they were taken into captivity as children. They were taken away from their families. Their parents were more than likely put to death and slaughtered. They were brought into a captivity into a strange land, a strange culture. And here they were. They had already determined in their heart, they had purposed in their heart that they weren't going to defile themselves with the king's meat. This had happened a while back. But now here they were standing facing a fiery furnace because they would not bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's idol. They have this standing in front of him, in front of them. They had to make hard choices. They came to a point where they were facing this king. The king gave them one more chance. And he said, "Who is that God? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." They had already determined in their heart that they were going to serve the Lord. They weren't careful to answer. They didn't have to stop and think about it. They weren't worried about their answer. They weren't careful to answer. They said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." But then there are three little words after that. "But if not." "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods." Have you ever come to a trial in your life and you think, "I can't handle this. God, I know you can deliver us out of this situation." But we have to get to a place where we have determined to serve the Lord. "But if not, as for me and my house, I will still serve the Lord." God sees our heart. He knows our innermost being. He knows what we need in our lives to be transformed more into the image of his Son. God can deliver us from our trials, but if he chooses not to deliver us, but to walk us through it, are we willing to serve him anyway? Are we willing to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? You know, after that little van incident that left my husband with a head worth around $60,000, for the next 10 years, we continued on our journey, serving the Lord, full-time service. Things were going great. The year 2009, life was still good. And life is always good, no matter what struggles you're going through. But life was still good. We were still excited about serving the Lord. Like any other family, we weren't perfect. We all had our struggles. But our joys and the blessings that come through the serving the Lord outweighs those struggles. Our daughter, Sarah, had just graduated from high school. She had chosen to stay with us for that year after she graduated to continue traveling. All four of our boys, Andrew, Matthew, Joshua, and Caleb, were still homeschooling. That's a separate trial in itself. For you mothers that homeschool, there's light at the end of the tunnel. When they're done, it's great. We were averaging 50-something meetings a year. We were in churches, we were singing, we were traveling together, we had just made a new music CD. Then in January of 2010, our lives completely changed. We had noticed a couple of months earlier that our son Matthew, you know, he would run and play around like any other normal 14-year-old kid. But he was starting to have kind of, he would get winded and tired. He thought he was out of shape, so he kept running, kept doing stuff. So we had to go get a physical before he could play basketball that year. We had a Christian school at the time in our church, and when we were home off the road, we would let our kids be involved. We had to go get a physical with our family doctor, and they had to sign off, you know, on all of our kids before they could play. They told him about a couple of the issues, and he said, "We need to get that checked out before." So they sent us to Children's. We had some things checked, all kinds of tests. They found nothing. He did a stress test. they found absolutely nothing. The pediatric cardiologist called the day before Thanksgiving in 2009 and said there was a minor issue. His heart slows down a little bit, but it's nothing to worry about. And his exact words were, he will be fine. It's not like he'll have a heart attack playing ball. I have no problem signing off and him playing. He'll be fine. Well, we just went with that. So anytime we were home, we would let him play. That night, we had packed up the van to get ready to go to a meeting in Missouri. The kids were going to play in the basketball game. We were going to leave straight from there out to our meeting. You know, sometimes you can just see the hand of God in special ways. Everything changed in a moment of time. They had called a timeout. The game was almost over. There was 1 minute and 15 seconds left on the clock. Matthew walked over to the bench and collapsed. His heart stopped. He never regained consciousness. The date was 1:15. The time on the clock, on the time clock, said 1:15. Matthew, I'm not superstitious with numbers. I'm not one of these, you know, number people. But sometimes God just sends little things our way to tell us, I'm in control. It's going to be okay. So at 1:15 on the clock, on January 15th, our son was born on January the 15th. Our son died on January the 15th. He was 15 years old. Had 1 minute and 15 seconds left on the clock. On his tombstone, we had the verse engraved, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We didn't realize until later, connecting everything, the reference on that is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. 55 was his basketball jersey number. You know, the Lord just sends little signals. I remember being in the hospital and thinking, can this really be happening? They're back there trying to revive my son. They call us back there. I won't go into all of the details. But he's laying on the table, and I remember just looking at him. Your thoughts are in a whirl, and sometimes the oddest thoughts come through your head at the strangest moments. I remember, I haven't seen that child without a shirt in probably 10 or 11 years. He was 15 years old. I remember thinking, I didn't know he had hairy armpits. I mean, just the weirdest things come into your head. But then I remember begging God, please, just let him wake up. But you know, I watched my husband after that happened. He gathered us all into the hospital chapel. And he led us all in the song, I Love You, Lord. You know, even through trials and struggles in your life, you need to determine, I love you, Lord. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do I understand trial? Do I understand why he chose not to deliver? No, not really. We've asked God why. You know, we had a preacher that really helped us with this struggle. Jesus on the cross, do you remember what he said? When he was going through his struggle, bearing our sin, bearing the weight of the world, he turned to God and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was out of the will of God. It's okay to ask why. The key is not to get bitter in our circumstances. If God doesn't give us an answer, why, we still accept him. We still trust him. We still determine, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I do know this, God has allowed our family to minister in ways that we may not have been able to minister in before. A lot of us in this room, even now, are going through struggles in our lives. Some are at the beginning of their struggles. Some are right in the heat of the battle. I can look across this room and see the stories on several faces of struggles that you've been through. But just the fact that you're sitting here, you keep on serving the Lord, that's an encouragement. No matter what point you are in your journey of struggles, you need to renew that commitment every day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to be completely transparent here. It's 11 years after the fact, and I still struggle. I struggled this week. You know, just because we've determined to serve the Lord doesn't mean we're not going to still have struggles. But you know what? You can have joy in those struggles. You can bear the image of Christ and portray to the world. There's a verse in the Bible, and the reference is not coming to me right now, but it says, we sorrow not as those that have no hope. We still sorrow, but we have the hope. We have the hope of the resurrection. We have the hope of knowing we have a God that's going to take care of us through every trial. Even if he doesn't deliver us from that trial, he walks us through it. And we have that hope. So we need to encourage each other. Sharing our testimonies with each other, it doesn't make us superheroes in the faith. It doesn't. If we share our burdens and share our trials to bring glory to ourselves, we've missed the whole purpose. The whole purpose is to bring glory to our Creator, to bring glory to God. He's created us in His image, and we need to bear that image to the world. We need to bring glory to Him. So we don't share. We share to be an encouragement. I want to tell you, I've been following Sarah's Facebook post, and she's been an encouragement to me. She's in the heat of her battle right now with Ben and the struggles, but she's been an encouragement to me. She shared scripture, and that's been a help to me this week, just reading through and looking at the scriptures that she has shared. On one of her posts, she shared a verse from Psalm, and I quoted that frequently after Matthew passed away because it was a real encouragement to me after his death. It says Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, we need to encourage each other in our service in the Lord. It's easy for us to faint. It's easy for us to feel overwhelmed under the struggle, but we still need to have that resolve and determination. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's why being in church is so important. Doesn't it tell us in Hebrews? And I love how she brought this theme, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We just need to get back to the basics. We need to be in church, encouraging. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. There are a lot of churches that can't assemble. They can't. But are there some that won't? We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, not in a prideful kind of way. Why? But exhorting one another. We need to come together and exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you have a choice whether to come to church or sit home and watch it on live stream, you know, we found that sometimes it's easier for folks just to say, oh, I'll sit home and watch it. I don't really have to go. They don't make that conscious effort to step out and come. We need to encourage each other, exhort one another. And like I said, it doesn't make us a hero of the faith to share our testimony. I saw a thing on a letterboard that I really liked. It's, you know, going through struggles doesn't suddenly make us, well, I'll share it this way. I saw it. It says, I ate one brownie today instead of the whole pan. I'm pretty sure I'm a life coach now. That about sums it up. You know, going through trials doesn't necessarily make us a life coach. Which brings us back to, remember we talked about what we ingest, you know, as a reflection. Our image reflects our diet. How about our spiritual diet? You know, we don't need to spend all of our time on Facebook. I'm talking to myself here. Reading about all the political agendas, the end time conspiracies, the vaccination debates. We're not here to debate vaccinations. We're not here to debate wearing masks. We don't need to spend all of our time taking in a complete diet of that. We don't need to take in a constant diet of what's wrong with Independent Fundamental Baptist. We don't need to take in a constant diet of we're not going to get this vaccine and this is the reason why. We need to take in a constant diet of God's Word. And we just need to get back to the basics. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Lord may bring trials in your life. I don't have all the answers. None of us do. But I have, and hopefully you have, put your faith and trust in the one who does have all the answers. And I'm determined, as for me, as for my house, and hopefully you will determine, as for you, as for your house, we will serve the Lord despite what's going around us.